Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Okay, we're just going to finish off Romans 12. This is from the Message. Be good friends who love deeply. See, I love you deeply, Ken. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Now, we all know that's in the Bible. And this part of the Bible is where Paul is telling us where Christianity outworks. So it's where the rubber hits the road. Underneath that, you've got the mirror word, which is a lot wordier, but also shows some really good aspects of what Paul is saying to Christians as far as he sees their behaviour reflecting the truth of the gospel. But before we get into that, there is the story of the chainsaw. Now, yeah, this is going to come as a surprise to some people. It won't come as a surprise to you, Kim. You already know this. I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed when it comes to tools. I make some really horrendous blunders with things. I will look at something three times and go, it took me 4 hours to change a light globe one day. I actually pulled the connection right off the wires and then looked at it and went, if I put that back up, it's going to hurt. I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed. Could you turn those lights down a little bit? I'm frying up here. I bought an electric chainsaw one day because I wanted to cut down some wood, and I thought, I'll get me an electric chainsaw and I'll just... I made a couple of mistakes. Now, the first mistake was I had to assemble some parts of the chainsaw. That was the first mistake. But I read the instructions. I was very nervous, so I read all of the instructions because it's not the same with a TV remote. You're not going to cut off your arm or your leg with a TV remote. So I made sure I put the chainsaw together the right way. I read the instructions. It was good. The chainsaw looked good. I pulled the trigger. The chainsaw sounded good. I was ready to go. So I went outside where these trees needed a bit of trimming, and I started. And the chainsaw made a great sound and left an eighth of an inch burn on the outer bark of the tree. Now, you know, I'm a Christian. You know that. So I didn't respond badly. I did question the efficiency of the overseas market. I did question the parenthood of the people who sold me the chainsaw. I did question a number of things at the time. I knew, by the way, that they were laughing at me. I knew that they'd made this chainsaw specifically so that some well-meaning idiot like myself would get there after parting with his hard-earned cash and get frustrated. I came close to throwing it over the fence into the next-door neighbour's yard. I came even closer to sitting down and writing a letter to the Chamber of Commerce, to the Board of Small Businesses, to Aldi, the chain store that had sold me the dumb chainsaw, and to the Pope, because he needs to be aware of things like that. I was going to get the intercessory prayer group together to pray for their souls because I was going to send them to meet Jesus. And I was really just frustrated and angry. Has anyone ever felt like that? No. See, well, you never make things wrong, do you, darling? No. That's your husband. Yeah. Now, I'd made a few mistakes on the way. I mean, I'd put everything together properly. It took me 3 times to get everything in the right spot because the first 2 times I screwed up. And then I had to put the oil in, which was really great because they didn't tell me what type of oil. So after 2 attempts at that, I eventually got the right oil. Because you don't use vegetable oil in a chainsaw. They should have said that. If they were specific, I would have got that, but they didn't say that. So after all this time, I'm sitting there looking at this chainsaw and I'm blessing everybody under my breath. And a mate comes in, just dropped in to see how my career as a lumberjack was going. Just thought he'd drop in because he wanted a laugh. And he just looked at me and says, "How's it going?" I said, "Oh, flipping chainsaw. It's..." And you know when you get angry, you can't finish the sentence? You know, it's... Oh, man! They saw me. But no. That's about all I can say in a church. And he just looked at me and looked at the chainsaw and went, "Oh, I've got one of those." So it works real good. I thought, that's right, insult to injury, because I buy the one that doesn't work. And he picks up a screwdriver and he goes, "Can I look at it?" And I went, "Yeah." "Try it now." I said, "Don't be stupid." He goes, "Try it now." Shoom, down come the tree. I'd done everything right. I'd read the instruction manual. I'd put it together carefully 3 times because I messed it up the first 2 times. I'd done everything right. Except putting the chainsaw blade on the right way. So instead of cutting through the wood, it just rubbed ferociously with great sound, but with very little effectiveness. I had all the best intent in the world. I had put everything into practice that I could possibly do. I had read the instructions. I read the instructions, huh? I swear. But it didn't work. And I was frustrated. I was angry. My point is, when things aren't going well for you, when you've tried really hard, when you've done the best you can, when you've read the instructions, and guess what? Your life's like that chainsaw. It's making a lot of noise, but it's not real effective. Anyone been there? Yeah. Isn't it easy to want to chuck the whole thing over the fence and find someone to blame? Isn't it easy to look at it and go, "Well, and I'm going to take it down to the nitty-gritty." You look at the Bible and you go, "Hey, now I read the word and I've good intent, I've read it, I know what it says. It's just not working for me." It's just not working for me. And some well-meaning person will come along, because they love you, they'll say, "Did you read the instructions? Don't you love being told, have you read the instructions after you've spent hours and hours trying to put this thing together? Don't you love being told that if you just read your Bible, you get the answer? Has anybody been through a trial where you've read the Bible and you prayed, but you didn't get the answer?" I saw a hand there. That's not irreligious to say that. It's not unfaithful to say that. It's not unhelpful to say that. Why? Because we all go through it. We all go through times like that. And what's the answer? Well, we just read in Romans 12. Don't chuck a wobbly. Don't spit the dummy. See, Paul didn't have really good vernacular like we have now in Australia. Here it is in black and white. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. Laugh with your friends. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not your job. And that's awfully hard to hear when you're going through a bad time. If you've prayed for things, a friend or an illness or something like that, and well, you don't pray for all illnesses, you pray that they go away. But if you've been praying and things haven't been working out, I believe God wants to say, don't chuck the chainsaw. It works. And I wrote these notes a couple of weeks ago, and what I've really enjoyed is watching how God intertwines the notes. For those who were here this morning, we had a wonderful service. It was a great service. Chris, your message on communion was brilliant. I loved it. I was really blessed by it. And Graham, you passed. Graham was very good. But again, it's this thing where we're looking at what happens when things don't work. Do we chuck the chainsaw over the fence? Do we throw it away and say it's a piece of junk? Or do we do what Paul says and what Jesus showed us? We continue. We stay fervent in prayer. We start to read the instructions beyond just how to make it work. And we start to look at what the Word says about us. And we start to bring that into life. We start to say, okay, guess what? My past is littered with chainsaws or whatever things you tend to break. Cars, maybe a situation there, Mel. Trailer buggies or whatever you drive around in. I mean, there's millions of them out in the backyard somewhere. Guitars. Thermomixers. You know what? Let's say that's why you're not being blessed. All right. We need to focus on what Jesus has achieved for us, not focus on what is thrown at us. We can look at the circumstances and lose our perspective. Why do we pray? Graham said it this morning. The prayer may not change anything immediately, but it changes our focus. And if we pray knowing that God hears us, we have a confidence that his word will not return void. George Muller, who was Graham mentioned this morning, was one of my favourite heroes, I guess you'd call that, as a Christian. Why? Because he never asked for money. He had faith. He actually put the rubber on the road. He started social work programs. He helped people and he expressed it through the love he had for God and the relationship he had with God. Not everyone is called to be a George Muller. But we are still in contact with the same God that he had. And God is no respecter of persons. If you are praying for something that God has put on your heart, and that is a legitimate need, don't be afraid to keep praying. Do not chuck the chainsaw. Because the Holy Spirit, who is our helper in all things, is going to bring to life the things we need to make our life work. It's not do this in an instruction manual format, because you know something? When Paul wrote this to the Romans, they didn't have an instruction manual. They had a few books of the Old Testament. That's all they had. So he wasn't telling them to read that and be ready for what was coming. He said, the Spirit which is with us, the Spirit of which we sang about, breathe on us like the wind. The Holy Spirit is with us today, and that's not hype. That's truth. And that's life. The word by itself will bring death. It says that. But the Spirit brings life. Many, many, many people have read the Bible from cover to cover and gone out and slaughtered millions of people. Karl Marx read the Bible 7 times. Darwin read it regularly. He didn't kill people, just some of their ideas. Reading by itself isn't going to do all the work. But staying connected in your spirit. There's a couple of things he says. Paul says, the Holy Spirit, his role is to convict the world of sin. We've looked at sin in Romans before. Sin is missing the mark. It's not sharing first prize. You're not hitting the target. That's what sin is. That's how it's described by Paul. He doesn't list the way that sin outworks in our lives. He doesn't call them by the seven deadly sins. He says it's missing the mark. But the beauty about this in Romans is when Paul says, we all have missed the mark, he also says, but Jesus intercedes for us in heaven and the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on earth. And intercession means hitting the mark. So whilst we may miss it, Jesus never does. And he stands before the courts of heaven and he hits the mark for us. And whilst down here we struggle and we miss the mark, the Holy Spirit never misses the mark for us. He stands in our place. He intercedes. He takes the bow out of our tired, wobbly arms and he hits the mark. So what is prayer? You know, I make no bones about it. I pray in the Spirit a lot. I don't pray in the Spirit a lot because I'm spiritual. I pray in the Spirit a lot because I'm not particularly spiritual. I don't always know what God wants or what God wants to show me in a circumstance, so I end up praying in tongues. For those that have that gift, use it. For those that haven't, it's available. It's not special. It's not ooky-booky. It doesn't turn you into a nutcase. I was a nutcase before I spoke in tongues. Seriously, praying in the Spirit, always. Bringing our requests to God. Taking our chill pill, which is, does God know? Yes. And if God knows, does God love me? And if God loves me, is God going to answer my prayer? And then the thoughts come, maybe it's not good for me. Maybe he's trying to teach me a lesson. Maybe I've been bad. Maybe there's something else going on and he just wants me to suffer for a while because that'll purify me. God's prayers, or our prayers to God, may not always be answered quickly, but God never takes any delight in torturing his children. And Jesus said, if you know how to give good things to your children, how much more does the Father in heaven know how to give you good things? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not your own. Not your own. It's never about your righteousness when you pray. It's about his righteousness because he is righteous and he has committed himself to us. Paul says that again through here. He encourages us to keep our spiritual fervour alive. In verse 11 he says, don't burn out, keep yourselves fuelled and aflame. Pastor Graham's preached the last couple of times, he's preached on that fervent, persistent prayer. Now, if you tried to pray for something for a long period of time and then just given up, God's not measuring you and saying, look, you know, if you prayed 120 times, I'd give it to you, but you only prayed 112, so you're not going to get it. I think God looks at us and says, okay, pray. Pray believing. Know that I hear you. When the enemy says he's not listening, when the heavens seem as brass, know the fact that the word of God is true. And the word of God said this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I hear you. Whatsoever you ask in my name. Now, that's not grab it and blab it. That's not the prosperity message. That's simply looking at our lives and going, hey, if things aren't going right, folks, your chain's on the wrong way. The chainsaw works, but we need somebody who knows what they're doing to come along and help us adjust the chainsaw, the cutting edge, and that is the Holy Spirit. When Paul says, keep yourselves fueled in a flame, he means it in two ways. One, keep fervent, passionate, heated in your spirit. Or two, keep fervent, passionate and heated by the Holy Spirit. When you don't know how to pray, pray in tongues. If you don't know how to pray in tongues, seriously, We will pray for you any time, day or night, if you need it. If you want to receive the fullness of that gift, that is open to all people. That it really is open to all people. And for me, I'll tell you straight, it's essential. Because my brain is my worst enemy. Isn't that true, Graham? My brain is my worst enemy. Just the worst one, and thank you very much for that. You're such a blessing. All right. The last part of this is where Paul says, be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. How many people are looking forward to tribulation, persecution, and hard times? Can I see your face and can I have the people with the straitjackets? No? Nobody's asking for that? It's coming. And that's not an alarmist thing. That's simply a statement of fact. When Paul wrote this, he wasn't thinking of us in 2000 AD. He was thinking of the Roman church in 63 AD. By 70 AD, Jerusalem had been destroyed. So within 7 years of this time span, Jerusalem's gone down the gurgler. They've burnt the temple. There is no temple anymore. The nation has been dispersed. The persecution of the Christians within 2 years of this letter was intense. Paul was dead, I think 4 years after this, or five. Peter was dead by that stage. It wasn't, if hard times come your way. It was more than that. It was, you are going to get hard times. This is just as much a promise as that I will be with you through those hard times. You are going to have hard times. Is that a positive message? Well, it thrills me to bits. No, I tell you what, my mother didn't make any heroes. But what does thrill me is that my God said he would stand with me and he would meet me and he would supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And my God doesn't lie, and neither does yours. We are going to go through hard times, folks. But our God's going to go through them with us. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to get behind us with a bullwhip driving us on. He's going to call to us. He's going to whisper to us. He's going to speak softly to us to see whether we're listening and whether we'll follow. And don't be afraid that you're going to miss your only chance. He's not that mean. If you miss one, it doesn't matter. He's going to call you again. The example Graham used this morning was of the importunate widow, the one that just kept banging on the door. Now, if Jesus is using that as an example in a parable, do you think maybe he might put that into practice as well? I'm going to keep knocking on the door. I'm going to keep asking you. I'm going to keep providing for you. You actually have to turn me away. If you miss me, and I think it's really important, that's why we gather together as Christians, so we can hear the message preached, and we don't miss the move of the Holy Spirit. There has been a move of the Holy Spirit in the last 3 or 4 years, in a way that I haven't seen personally. Has there been a new truth? No, there never is a new truth. But there's an old truth that is newly revealed. The gospel of grace was part of that. Chris's message, that we need never fear to come into God's presence. He is not angry with you. And it doesn't matter what you have done. He is not angry with you. He knows you and he loves you. Now, some of us will look at it and go, well, if you love me, how come my life has had all this, rubbish. Thank you. Had all this rubbish in it. You know, ask me about that, and I've got no idea. I don't know. But I know that God's there. And if you're grieving and you need someone to sit with, then there are friends that will sit with you. And if you haven't any friends that will sit with you, I'll sit with you. Because that's what we're told to do. Laugh with those that laugh and weep with those that weep. Don't chuck them a happy pill, say, God bless you, and walk away. Because that doesn't display what God's about. That's not an example of what Jesus would have done. I was talking to somebody the other night, and we were talking about Donald Trump, or I'll use Donald Trump. It wasn't Donald Trump, it was somebody else. And I'm going, I don't like the bloke. You may have guessed that. But my friend said, well, you know something, isn't going to be funny, because there's Jesus walking through New York and he looks up and there's Donald Trump. He says, hey, Trumpy, come out of the tree. I'm going to have lunch at your place tonight. And see, I'm good with Zacchaeus, even though he's a tax collector. I'm okay with that. But if Jesus wants to have a meal with Donald Trump, Jesus and me need to talk. We need to have some serious discussions here, because he shouldn't be hanging around with people like that. It's a joke. I was trying to be funny. All right. Paul's already expressed God's master plan in chapters 9, 10 and 11. This is to prepare us for the setbacks that are inevitable in Christian life. We need to know it because there's a scripture that says, in all things God works for the good of those who love him. In all things God works for the good of those that love him. Does it look that way to us when we're going through it? No, it doesn't. I mean, you know, if a Christian walks up to me and says, oh, look, my husband's really sick and my kids are doing drugs and the dog's run away with the cat and they're still smiling, then they're on Valium. That ain't faith. They're somewhere out there in the outer limits. You know, the music starts to play. There are things happening in our lives and we need to be real about that, because our God is real about it, and his promise is, in all these things, God is working for the good of those that love him. We need to stand fast. We need to lift our eyes. We need to declare his promise. And that's not so that we look good. It's so that God's name is lifted in the midst of the circumstance and allows God to move in it. Any of us can bless God when things are going well. And most of the time when things are going well, we don't even talk to God. But there was a hard time coming to the Roman church. And Paul's letter was to them. We get lessons out of it, but it wasn't to us, it was to them. Now, when the family's getting used as live bait for lions, you better know that God's on your side. If we follow Paul's instructions, we reinforce our hope, which is in Jesus, and his truth. We need to realign our faith through the process of prayer. And we have to reassure ourselves that God meant it when he says, I love you. In my own life, when the reality of God's love breaks through and I can commit myself and my situation to him in prayer, now that's not often. It's happened. There's more times than it hasn't, because I've been too emotionally involved, or I've needed someone to step in and stand by me because I wasn't able to do it. I wasn't able to distance myself far enough from the situation to be able to get a perspective on it. I was too emotionally involved. But when that's happened, and it's happened more over the years as I've grown a little bit, and I'm a slow learner, so it's taken me a while, but as it's been happening, I find that regardless of the turmoil taking place around me, I have a peace. And I have a confidence that says this: no matter your need, no matter your concern, no matter the hurt or the anger or the angst in your heart, our God is a place of rest. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's also a God of restored hope. When Paul is saying, don't get angry, don't fight back, don't do this, don't do that. All I can hear is, Dale, don't chuck the chainsaw over the fence. You need to realign it. I've done everything I can. It's not working. And what does God do then? What he did at my house. He sends somebody along who looks at me pityingly, laughs under his breath, and readjusts it. Now that can be a human being in our lives. More often than not, it's the Holy Spirit in my life who goes, that doesn't look good to you, but I have a purpose and a plan. It's only when my good friend the Holy Spirit comes along and realigns my chain blade that I can rejoice in this noisy weapon of mass destruction that we call life. Because it does go wrong. It says in Ecclesiastes, it's better to have a partner than to go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. Very socialist concept, I like it. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. It's a bit cold, isn't it? A bit cold. If there's no one to help, tough. Jesus went to the Father to send the Holy Spirit so there would always be somebody there to help. The Comforter will always be there. So if you're alone physically, you are never alone spiritually. Prayer, fervent prayer. When we're in a real lot of trouble, I get very fervent about prayer. If you get me out of this one, I promise I'll never do it again. I don't know how many times I've prayed that. But fervent prayer, persistent prayer, where the Holy Spirit says, I can hear you and I will intercede because that's my job. You know, telling me to read the instructions may be helpful, but it doesn't really cut it when I need it. I need someone to come along and help me change the chain blade. I need some practical assistance. We get together as a church and we're quite disparate. Different people, different needs, different places. But you know, sometimes we miss the fact we need each other. It's not saying it to be nice. It's saying it because if one of us falls and we don't know who to call, we haven't got anyone around. We're like some poor little antelope that the lions pick off. Separate them, rip them to shreds. Sometimes all we need to do to be there for someone is to go, you know, let's pray together. I'll pray in the Spirit, you pray in the Spirit, or I'll pray with what I know. But we're not going to walk, you're not walking through this alone. We're all in this together. Whether you like it or you don't. Whether you like the people you're walking with or you don't. As far as possible, if it's within you, be at peace with all those around you. But the Holy Spirit is greater than a friend. He stays closer than a friend. He's an intimate with us. It struck me when Paul was writing this that the Romans who read it at the time had no idea what was coming down the pike. They were living in the biggest city in the world. They had the strongest armies. Their economy was great. Everything was looking pretty good. It didn't stay that way. It definitely didn't stay that way for the Christians. Is this a fear message? No, it's not. You know, if you go up in an airplane, the airplane can crash. You feel a lot happier if you go up in the airplane and you've got a parachute. The Holy Spirit is with us, but he's also there to protect us. When we go through hard times, and we've had a few people go through hard times this year, the Holy Spirit is there. We've always finished on this. I'm going to do it again. Herein lies the secret of the power of the gospel. There's no good news in it until the righteousness of God is revealed. And because God is righteous, he will never, ever, ever fail to honour his word. And whatever we take to him, we can leave in his hands, knowing that he is with us and he knows what we feel. And that's a great comfort. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the example of Jesus. I thank you for the example of Paul. I thank you for the words of wisdom that he writes. Father God, I thank you for the courage that they had as they read these words and put them into practice. Father, I thank you that sufficient today is the evil thereof, but we have you with us all the time. Your mercies are new every morning. It's fresh manna that we seek, and it's fresh manna that you give. Lord, touch each one here tonight. Touch them in their spirit. Father God, touch them in their hearts, touch them in the wounds, and heal those in Jesus' name. Amen.